This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with my colleagues, Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang, with me in North America, and our colleague, Lance Gatling, in Tokyo, Japan, watching this from the other side of the Pacific. And what this is a presentation by Elbridge Colby of the Defense Department, Undersecretary of Defense for Policy. The headline in the FT, U.S. demands to know what allies would do in the event of war over Taiwan. Subhead, Trump administration says it is trying to prevent war, but raises eyebrows by calling for commitments from Australia and Japan. Before we go to Lance, Gordon, your measure of this presentation by Mr. Colby, I note that there's reason to believe that it will happen again to other allies, but these two allies in particular, is it surprising to you, Gordon, or is this some necessary clearing of the air after the Biden administration?
This is necessary clearing of the air because China could attack a neighbor, Taiwan or some other country, at any moment. And it's important for countries to clarify their stance, especially because we have the Australian Prime Minister, Albanese, now in China saying all sorts of nice things about Beijing. And that should put a lot of people in the United States on notice that maybe Australia is not as firm an ally as we once thought.
The quote from the defense official, otherwise known as Bridge Colby, "We do not seek war, nor do we seek to dominate China itself. What we are doing is ensuring the United States and its allies have the military strength to underwrite diplomacy and guarantee peace." Lance, you were very keen on watching the Japanese government, which has changed several times in these last years. Mr. Ishiba, the present prime minister, I'm told, is not as strong in the legislature as his predecessors because of voting, because of numbers. At the same time, Japan does know that Taiwan is under threat, and Japan does have a self-defense force of note. However, your measure of what Japan has to offer in Elbridge Colby's presentation, what are you going to do for us if Taiwan's attacked? Has it changed recently? Is it an evolving story?
The evolution in this instance it can be seen in multiple facets of what happened. There was a leak given to the Financial Times, which printed the article. And when the press secretary at the Pentagon was asked, they referred the world's press to a tweet that Elders Colby had written in response to the FT article. So we're in brave new world territory here. It's quite novel to me and pretty astonishing. But the question itself is not one that really surprises me. This is an all-important question to military planners. If we have this contingency that we're talking about, what, in fact, are you going to be able to do? What do you plan to try to do? Because, of course, if you try to do 10 of something, you may get 8 of it done before the shooting starts. So that question is always foremost in the minds of American-style military planners. What can you do? So you have the military attachés and the exchange officers who spend a lot of time understanding the nuts and bolts. Japan has this many ships. Any given time, 70-80% of them are operational. They have this much ammunition, blah, blah, blah. But what are they going to do? What do they actually plan to do with it in the event of hostilities? That's what I believe that Mr. Colby is asking, because that's his job. He's the Undersecretary of Defense for Policy, and asking the question: if we have this policy of defending Taiwan, what can you do about it? We'll show you what we're going to do, or what we plan to do, the United States plans to do, but we need to know what Japan plans to do. And of course, the ambiguity on the Japanese side is exactly what they plan to do. They don't really have the culture of explaining that in detail to their population, particularly with an upper house election coming. You may recall last year we talked about the election and that Ishiba has a minority government for the first time in Japanese history. And they're facing an election of half of the upper house. So 124, I believe it is, of the upper house are standing for election next Sunday. And the polls don't look good. The questionnaires given to people, it looks like that they may lose their majority in the upper house and be forced to have some other sort of coalition once again. So the Japanese really don't want to speak in specifics. Even if they want to give specifics right now, they don't want to give them in public. So while the U.S. is trying to make the strategic ambiguity vis-a-vis Taiwan less ambiguous, the Japanese really don't want to be too specific about it right now. The Australians, as you say, have a different issue. They refer back to their own constitution and say, we'll make that decision when the time is nigh. We'll cross that bridge when we come to it.
Gordon, I have a question for Lance.
Lance, it would seem to me that the bigger question is not what will Japan and Australia do. The biggest question is, what would the United States do? And it would seem to me that Canberra and Tokyo should be asking that question of Washington. Your thoughts?
Well, presumably in that discussion of what Japan would be able to do, they would discuss what the United States would be able to do and under what grounds it would actually do that. One of my interlocutors in the State Department that I talked to about such things, I almost had a stroke when President Biden mentioned specifically, of course, the United States would go to the aid of Taiwan, which flew in the face of decades and decades of strategic ambiguity regarding that question. I think that most people believe that. I'm positive that the Chinese believe that, or at least are planning for that. They're not planning that the United States would not show up at all. But it was a shock to hear President Biden say that. Trust me, in some circles, there were people that had heart palpitations. So privately, yes, that's all part of it. But this is the nuts and bolts of planning a war. The more nuts and bolts you have in the right place and know how to apply them, the more secure the relationship is and the better off you're likely to start. But as military planners are wont to say, no plan survives contact with the enemy.
Hardware. Is the hardware in the pipeline? They can deal with the legislative vote if they have the equipment when the time comes. Are they building, Lance, to your understanding?
Well, there's a lot of buying going on. There's a lot of buying. There's a lot of action going on. And I think the Japanese, of course, privately, they are making these points to the United States very pointedly, I would expect by now. They're talking of transferring 6 destroyer escorts to the Philippines. It's not just ships they would transfer. Those ships need care, maintenance, upgrade, weapons, training, long-term support, and interoperability exercises to be effective. So the Japanese are showing the world that they're very much concerned about the Philippines' national security objectives and supporting them. And the question I believe that Gordon has asked is, what are they going to do about Taiwan? And they have certainly a great deal of strategic ambiguity about that. But what is not ambiguous is that they are procuring long-range strike cruise missiles that they can deploy in the island chain southwest of Okinawa that can reach deep into the Bohai Sea and even into the major naval bases on the Chinese seaboard.
Gordon, we just have a minute if you have a quick question.
So, Lance, is defense an issue in the upper house elections in Japan?
Typically, that doesn't come to the forefront, but I believe that Ishiba's cancellation of his participation in the NATO meeting was a way to avoid being asked a specific question by the United States, which is, will you raise your defense spending to 5% GDP? The Japanese GDP is huge, so they've already planned to raise it to 2% GDP by 2027, which makes it one of the largest defense budgets in the world. But bringing it up another 150% to bring it to 5% GDP would be a pretty astonishing amount of money. And the question was, what could they do with that? Now they're going to buy
30 seconds.
They're going to buy a lot of equipment from the United States as an interim Tomahawk land attack missiles, as an interim for their own development of the ASM-12, the long-range attack missile. And they're deploying those, and they're reorganizing the Ground Self-Defense Force even more so to be ready to operate in the southwest region of Japan, closer to Taiwan. And they're going to increase their own. One of the ways they're going to increase the number of submarines is not retire the older submarines as quickly. But still, they have to recruit a lot of people, train a lot of people, expand bases and facilities, and they're doing all of that.
Nexial Research is Lance Gatling in Tokyo, Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.